Chapter 20, House of the Devil.
Hello, and welcome to Cry Me a Riverdale, your favorite Riverdale podcast, starring your favorite two cute boys doing their favorite thing in the world, talking about
Taking baths to get what? Wait, what were you saying?
I was going to talk about Archie.
Oh, you no, went, also fun. I don't know any.
What was happening in the bath? What was happening in the bath?
Nothing. What?
I took a bath with pizza this weekend and watched a
you
movie.
You did my finished. Thing?
Oh, that's my thing, baby. Oh, that's fine. That's like, we both rock that.
It's our thing.
Yeah. Just
that's we why have... we're taking the bath together. We just like pizza that much. That's really all it is. I don't know. You guys are gross. I don't know what you thought. So
I'm your host, John Reisinger. Joining me is Mikey Newman. We haven't even introduced ourselves yet.
So this is like the saddest episode of Riverdale ever. Yeah,
I didn't like it.
I had, so like, to fill everyone in on when we're recording and what's going on in our weeks, I've been dealing with like the Patreon explosion all day.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of patrons understandably being like, I can't support this platform anymore, so I'm just losing money. A lot of anxiety. And then I'm like, I'll sit down and watch Riverdale and everything will be fine. No.
No.
No, everything is not fine.
This is not a fine episode. It's not,
not a fine one.
On anything that can be considered fine. But
and
let's go ahead.
And it's from the jump, because we have a jug dub again. That's amazing. That's great.
We start and end with a jug dub.
It's all fear. He's like, fear, 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 fear. You should taste the fear. Fear is good for you. Fear.
Suck, 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 suck is what this is. So we start off with a jug dub. And he talks about how everyone's dealing with death and fear in their own way. And Archie and Ronnie are dealing it by boning.
Yeah, they're getting very close together. Like, they're getting physically close, but actually emotionally, they're very far apart.
Yeah.
As we learn.
But their privates are very close.
I'm not. That's fine. That's good. I can take it. Let's talk about bone scheduling. what do you guys call sex? Is it bone scheduling?
It's coitus parties. Coitus parties.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, consensual coitus parties.
Okay. CTP, of course. Of course. I know about all of this stuff.
Yeah, I've totally done that stuff. Yeah. I totally like that stuff. Everyone likes that. No one doesn't like boning.
There's an implication.
About?
I'm going to get back on the show here.
No.
So there's an implication.
They had sex in his room. They had sex in the garage. And they had sex in front of a fireplace.
The implication, though, is that Hiram Lodge would be very, very upset and cross with them if they knew what they were up to.
I guess. Yeah.
But he doesn't really seem to... For as much as they're like, he would be really mad, he's pretty supportive of their relationship.
Yeah. To the point of at one point in the episode says, like, hang out with Archie more, or we want to see Archie more.
How's the bone scheduling going? I believe was a line he said.
I appreciate it when my parents had that talk with me the first time.
Yeah, the bone scheduling talk is a really... So,
bone scheduling talk is going to be our next podcast that me and Mikey are going to have.
Archie gets called out of, I don't know, there's like a bunch of different times this is happening. He gets pulled out of specifically one of them, and then we move to...
Well, no, something very big happens.
What?
Archie drops the L word.
Oh, that's in this scene? I thought that was last episode.
They are in front of the fireplace doing that whatever deeds you do in front of a fireplace.
It definitely never comes up. He never says we should talk about me saying that.
Never.
Oh, sorry. He literally says it in every scene, every 4 seconds.
And Ronnie avoids it like just terribly.
Like various plagues, like multiple plagues. She's avoiding it like...
Yeah, so Archie says, I love you, but he says it very, like, just, like, naturally, like, it just came out. It was really sweet, actually, just the way it came out, like, and he didn't mean to. It wasn't, like, a big ordeal, but it got super awkward. He leaves. She doesn't say it back.
I think it was fine until he decided to make this a big to-do.
Yes.
As someone who has said the L word in a non-reciprocal fashion before, your best move is just chill. Like, at that moment, chill.
Yeah.
Archie has no chill.
That is a good title for this episode. Archie has no chill.
It's true.
Then we go to Pops, where Jug, upon having done some research on the Reaper, starts talking about the house that the Reaper was at and killed his family, which then we connect that is the house that Betty was sent to via the Black Hood in a previous episode. So then it really makes a connection of the Reaper and the Black Hood that these houses...
We don't know that yet. I think we find out in a bit. But yeah, you're... Because there is a phone call in this scene.
It is in this scene that Jughead brings up the house, and then she goes, "Oh, that's the same house that she went to." And she's like, Jughead's like, "We should go to Keller with this information then, because that's a connection." And she goes, "We can't go to Keller because I literally just accused him of being the Black Hood, and it's super awkward.
We also can't go to Keller because he totally is the Black Hood.
That's also a good reason.
But we learned that the Riverdale Reaper and the Black Hood really cannot be the same person. Though, the reasoning is that the Riverdale Reaper would be pushing 60, which isn't too old to be a murderer, Jughead.
It's you grow out of it.
Oh, really? It's like chicken pox. Once you hit 60, you can't get it again. You can't be a murderer a second time.
They go to the school and
He gets a phone call that his dad is going to get out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what it is. He tells her at school, but the scene it pops ends with a phone call. Yeah, that's what happens.
Did you get the impression that there was something off about this entire jail? Because the whole episode, I was convinced there was going to be some big jailbreak or something.
Well, I think
didn't believe that they were just letting him out, which it turns out they are.
Well, they were, but they got out because Peabody.
Penny pulled the strings.
Pulled the strings.
She's a really good lawyer, apparently. She should use her powers for good.
You know, that would be an option. But yeah, they give the excuse of the overcrowding of jail, but also like kind of hint to the camera, like, maybe not. And so Jughead's busy. He's got to go deal with that. Betty can't deal with Keller because she just accused him of being the murderer. So they put it on Ronnie and Archie to then do the follow-up on the Reaper connection with the Black Hood. And so
I've never seen any characters on a show recast themselves as other characters, but Archie and Veronica are like, Betty and Jughead, you are now Archie and Veronica. Bye.
You're the understudies. Go do it. So they're going to go do that. And then we go to the locker room and get a little bit of an update on this whole Josie and Cheryl thing that's happening.
I don't understand.
Cheryl starts making moves on Josie.
I literally read this as, man, you look like you need a massage. And when the oil came out, I was like, there's probably an ulterior motive here. But I actually bought you look like you need a massage. And I was like, oh, that's very friendly.
Oh, sweet, sweet Mikey. So Josie rolls with this. Cheryl starts giving her a massage because apparently her back is all messed up. It's not.
She did say there's knots in it.
Yeah, which you can see apparently from like a mile away. Janitor walks in and Cheryl loses it on him.
He did like walk in, go sorry, and then stand there continuing to stare at teenagers in towels.
Yeah, he didn't like say sorry and back away. He said sorry and then lingered.
It should have been sorry and like janitor-shaped smoke puff.
Yeah. But he doesn't. Cheryl loses it and screams at him, and that's we get a check-in on the janitor.
Weird scene. Don't know where any of this plot is going.
I don't know either. but we go to the lodges where Keller is leaving as Ronnie is coming home, and she sees that as like an odd thing that the sheriff is leaving their house. Yeah. And it's because the lodges got a letter from the hood, along with like almost everybody else, but they're getting threatened. But I love Ronnie's reaction because, like, Hiram and Hermione are pretty, like, nonchalant because everyone else is getting letters. But Ronnie's like, but we're actually sinners.
Yeah, we're in. It. So the implication to me is that Fred did not get one, and the Coopers did not get one, nor did FP get one.
Yeah, I guess the Coopers didn't. Well, FP was in jail, and I guess he's, I don't know why.
I wonder if he left a forwarding address in the event that he receives any mail in jail.
But yeah, they said like a dozen people have been getting these letters. Yeah, and so, yeah. But they're going to be like, they want to step up Ronnie's like security detail with like her drivers and that kind of thing. And this is when they say that, I don't know what word they use, but they referenced Archie's muscles in a way. And we're like, you should hang out. We want to see Archie more.
Smash cut to
Archie's abs.
Yeah. I mean, Which could be an ironic accident. I mean, considering the likeliness that you will cut any scene directly to Archie's abs.
Oh, did they cut to Archie's abs right there?
Yeah, literally, because I made a note. Archie got his shirt off. And that's all they do with that scene, because it goes immediately to Betty and Alice.
That's why. Archie, I think, in this episode, had his shirt off more than on.
He definitely did.
It was off a lot.
He was playing a lot of let's have pizza in the bathtub, I guess. I don't know why else it would be off.
Oh man, I wish we did merch and we just had a shirt that said let's have pizza in the bathtub.
I'm working on more merch, so okay. I'll think about that.
I feel like that kind of a merchandise line speaks to people beyond the Crimey Riverdale.
I want to build a whole red and black Riverdale line for Crimey Riverdale that's just all Beef Red branded. So it's like Live Strong. So like even our cool jerseys have like a red. Oh, actually, a red band around the arm isn't a good thought.
There's different implications for that.
Well, you could put it'd be long sleeve shirt. It could be around the wrist.
Yeah.
Saved it.
Kind of. And then we go to the Coopers. I just want to point out Alice has a new haircut. It's very obvious. It looked good.
Alice always looks good.
Alice looks very good. Betty lets her mom know that Jughead is a serpent at this point and asks her to be chill about it, essentially.
At which point Alice should be like, okay. And she kind sort of starts to go, oh, that's a really. So I'm kind of piecing together some of her plot from this episode, and she really does try to go along with this roller coaster and gets way back into character, ultimately leading Betty to an interesting place we will talk about
interesting
later,
is a word.
Later and at therapy this week.
Jesus.
let's this go to episode.
This episode, the last act of this episode. Jesus. We go to the White Worm, where Jughead announced FP's getting out, and Tallboy is a little whiner about it.
I believe Jug calls him a quote-unquote little bitch, I believe is his way. Which, at which point I thought, rest in peace, Jughead, because I thought Tallboy would have just punched his face off, but apparently calling a biker that leads you to let's all be calm and have a vote.
Now that I think about it,
as bikers do,
little bitch is actually a pretty good wordplay on tall boy. Tall boy, little bitch.
I thought the line was lame. It was so lame. That's the one line I was like, really?
Yeah. So tall boy has a problem not with FP, but with Jughead's plans that they're going to eventually sit down with the mayor and come to some sort of peace with the whole serpents. And tall boy thinks that he's got everyone in his favor, but then Jughead calls a vote of who's in his favor, and everyone's in
Jughead's
favor.
And he gets two votes, which means the whole bar is in his favor.
He got the majority.
Yeah. Well, Tallboy runs off like,
yeah.
We never see him again. He's probably still crying.
He shows up for like a toast at the end of it. and we go to the lodges where Archie
and Ronnie.
Yeah, he kind of wants to know if him and Ronnie are good, and he wants to talk about the whole L-word bomb, but
psst, if those two questions are being asked, you're not good. Just a little helpful tip there, buddy.
Yeah, a little relationship advice right here on Crimey Riverdale. Ronnie wants to ignore it, as anyone should when you are discussing using love in a descriptor of your relationship, and wants to focus on the Reaper case.
Yeah.
100% just wants to focus on the Reaper case is not avoiding a difficult conversation.
It is good to devote 100% of your brain power to a murderer actively trying to kill you and your family. I want to say, like, that's not ever the bad move.
It is. It's because, like, I think it was, like, around earlier in the episode when Jughead and Betty had it was later on in this episode when they come to him with like a revelation and like we need to keep working on this Reaper case and like we need to go to a party. It's like, what do you mean you need to go to a party? There's a killer sending death threats to everybody. Go figure this out. But yeah, priorities are not always in order in this show. Yes, so Ronnie wants to work on that. I'm pausing to have your moment.
No. I was reading. Sorry.
No, I'm pausing because you're supposed to do your thing now.
Whoosh.
There you go. I wrote it down this week, so I didn't step over it like I did last time.
I what's funny is I don't notice when you don't. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I feel like I need to violently interject all the time.
Then we cut to the kids, Archie and Ronnie, are separately talking to their parents about the fact that Archie said, I love you. And there's two very different conversations happening.
Right.
Yeah. Who do you think had better advice between the Lodges and Fred Andrews?
I mean, I don't feel like any of it was necessarily wrong, though. I didn't write down specifically what any of the Lodges. I mean, like, Fred's like, just be chill, Archie, my dude. Yeah. Like, you gotta chill.
He even puts in a perspective that people are at different pace in different places with where that word comes up, which is actually very true. Just because you're
which
there.
Which he then regurgitates later and 100% does not mean it. Which is also not a great move.
Yeah. So they start talking about but neither of them comes to really a conclusion of like how to deal with this. Then we go to the jail.
Yay.
FP's out.
For real, for real, for real.
I've missed my other dad.
And his other family and their station wagon came and picked him up.
Yeah. He gets out and then Alice welcomes him with a really sexually frustrated jab. Which was
and
odd.
Then there's a moment.
Yes.
Or is that later?
There's multiple moments of Alice like, and FP.
They had a thing.
They have a few things. and
that's true.
They do. So
they also share pizza in the bathtub a few times.
Why is this our thing now? Why is pizza in the bathtub?
Because you have an asexual on a podcast about Jughead and Riverdale, so it's sort of like I can just make a euphemism out of anything, and it works.
Oh, it was a good pizza, too, this weekend. It was a good bath.
Nice. What was the pizza?
The pizza, okay.
Don't say barbecue chicken or we can't be
no,
friends.
No. This was Supreme Stuffed Crust.
Ooh.
Because I'm a classy bitch.
A little stuffy crust.
but then I was watching Handmaid's Tale, which is beautiful and uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. For sure. Agreement. Move on.
Let's go to Pops, where FP is not going back to the Serpents.
He has a job. No, not yet. He wants
FP
to get a job.
FP is going
to
get a job.
Sorry.
FP is sober. FP is in AA. FP is doing good things.
And as one does, it's all good before the fall, I'm
yep,
afraid.
It's going to end badly.
Unfortunately, he does it all for 100% the right reasons. But
yes,
we'll get there when we get there. FP is very adamant. I'm not going back to the Serpents. I'm over that life. I'm in AA. He drinks his tea with his pinky out, which I thought was a really nice touch.
Yeah, it's because Alice was like grilling him. And so he was really like giving
when
it to her.
When is Alice not grilling?
I know. It's almost like there's some tension there they need to resolve.
Apparently.
But all this good news of FP not going to the Serpents is problematic for Jughead because Jughead needs him there to a certain extent to help like balance the force. And so it's very surprising to Jughead. It's probably very confusing because it's both his dad making good decisions at the same time at a bad time for him.
Jughead did him no favors by continually, entirely through this episode, lying to him about what his conversations with Penny actually were and what they actually mean.
He's been lying for a while. So we go to the sheriff, where Archie and Ronnie are doing their investigation, and they figure out through some help from OCP, which I got I think we got a couple questions. OCP is what we call the police officer because he's old Chris Pine.
Oh, sorry. We've explained it a couple times.
But yeah, I just wanted
to. I guess we don't explain it every time.
No, right? We don't explain it every time.
OCP is old Chris Pine because he looks like he ate young Chris Pine.
Very much. In this scene.
The YCP.
Yeah. So there was a sheriff that, so the files are gone, but they're not like stolen. They just often go home with the person who's running a cold case. And so the person running the cold case at the time would have been Sheriff Howard. Sheriff Howard is dead, but his daughter might have the files. That's and their lead.
She's totally ready to talk. Just open with a horrible, grisly murder that destroyed your alcoholic father's life.
She's been waiting for this phone call her entire life.
I can't wait to discuss the intricate details of this case that destroyed my family. Please come over.
Yeah, they call her. The daughter is frustrated with the case, doesn't want to talk. It's a dead end.
They don't open with, hi. They're just like, hey, so this family got murdered and your father got destroyed by it. So
yeah. We get a name for the house that people nicknamed the house that it happened in. It was the Devil's House.
The Devil's House.
And so the only information they get was that Sheriff Howard went there all the time and kept going back to the house. So that's their only lead they have at this point. Archie says, we need to go to the house. And then we have a nice little father-son hog ride via drone footage with FP and Jughead taking their motorbikes out into for a little ride to have a talk. Jughead lies to his dad again.
FP sniffs it out pretty quick, though.
Yeah. Says he only did one job for Penny, and that's it. This is BS. FP then, you know, obviously expresses he doesn't want this life for Jughead. But Jughead, like, says he needs to stay in this life for his reasons.
His reasons being he's being threatened by a woman that will destroy everything if he doesn't. Do that.
Yeah. But FP is a good dad and says, okay, you can keep doing this, but please keep writing. So he's got some, you know.
So he still feels like this could come out because we cut directly to evidence. Because we've been shown evidence repeatedly that FP is going to change. And he's struggled every single time. But we see like actual, you know, evidence in the Pops getup, which is not cool on a serpent.
He looks so cute.
Not the word I would use, but he's trying for his kid. Like, he's really, really doing some stuff.
He tries hard in this scene. He tries hard in this scene.
But we're gonna complicate this emotionally.
Yeah.
Because Cheryl sees him and just throws her milkshake on the ground, breaks the glass.
Oh, and yeah. She's like,
clean that up like you cleaned up my brother's blood. And I'm like, actually, she has a pretty good point. Really? And he's just like, yeah, you're right. I'm a jerk. Whoops, sorry.
Yeah.
He handles it cool. But I'm like, she gets to be mad, you know, a couple times probably, and it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's obviously like a rude take, but she is looking at the guy who got out of jail after helping dispose of her brother's body.
Which he did because her father had threatened that person.
It's all complicated.
So, yeah. So, you know, a couple milkshake glasses, that's fine. Cheryl, work it out.
My
friend.
But FP acts like a total gentleman about this, or a very humble about this, as he should. Jughead doesn't like it and thinks that his dad should be celebrated.
Yeah, it's a weird pendulum swing considering what they've all been through, and like the last thing the town of Riverdale is going to do is celebrate him specifically, because regardless of his proximity to the murder and being exonerated of it, he was still involved and he still represents a pretty terrible chapter that they seem to be repeating in this town every 30 years or so.
Yeah. So Betty is there and hears this plea from Jughead that his dad should be celebrated, and then offers it up that they should do a going away party, a retirement party for him since he's leaving the snakes.
Which I think is like if the snakes should celebrate him, like that makes sense. I'm just like, the mayor's probably not gonna dust off 76 other trombones. You know. It's a Music Man reference.
It's everybody,
do they get? Do they? Do you guys? No. Okay. Well,
Music Man.
It's fine.
I was in Music Man once. Just want to drop that out there.
I'm like, I eat pizza in the bathtub, John. What do you like?
We go
we're
to the
both
white,
capable
we,
of amazing things.
We are both capable of amazing things. We are beautiful creatures. We go to the White Worm. Betty talks to Tony about how she's worried about Jughead and
did
wants
you get
to be
a
close
weird
to
energy from this scene?
Yeah, it's weird to see Betty like confiding in Tony about Jughead, considering.
Well, I guess everyone has sort of shared information because Tony was pretty upfront that like, yeah, we made out. Yeah, everybody was in a weird situation. I'm into girls. This isn't my thing. So maybe there actually is. I mean, there's bedrock to build something from there. It just seemed sudden.
But she.
But Betty needs some friends, real clearly. So I'm fine with it.
Does and so Tony's like, so do you want to be a serpent to be here close with Jughead and help him out? And she's like, I'm serpent adjacent. And so Tony brings up this idea of a serpent dance. That is what the ladies do. And she
Sorry. So that's a one-time thing. Once you do it, it's done.
I don't know the full logistics of it.
That's not like a real stripper move, is just the one and
It sounded like it was the way she was very vague about it, but yeah. I read it as her insinuating that was the girl of a serpent's like initiation, that when she's not
less girl and more friend of, and it's gendered and sexist and horrible. But
no, I thought it was literally the difference between like you do the gauntlet if you're going to be a serpent. If you are just the SO of a serpent,
I agree. That's what I'm saying.
Then you do the dance.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Because like, I think women have run the gauntlet. I think yes. Penny did, for example. I think
I'm sure
did.
Tony did. Yeah,
Tony probably hit him back.
So yeah, we get the first hint of that and I'm already upset. We go to the Joneses where FP at first doesn't want to go to the party, but Jughead convinces him, so he agrees to go, and then he gets a phone call and he lies to his dad again and says it's Archie. It's not Archie, it's Penny. And she threatens to put FP back into jail if Jughead doesn't do what she needs him to do.
And then he threatens her, and then she threatens Betty, and it's just like, it's not a great, you guys are doing like a whole John Woo, everyone pulls out their guns at the same time, and you have to do the overhead shot just to realize what the geography of the, because everyone's like mutually assured destruction, let's go.
Yeah. So that happens, and then we go to Pops, where Penny and Jughead, they kind of argue over the future of their relationship. They kind of argue over the future of like that's when the John Woo kind of thing gets even more heated because they get in person and they have this whole thing. And Penny brings up Betty. Yeah, okay. I've caught up on my notes now. So we go to the Devil's House. That's what happens next.
Yeah,
where we have a reenactment of the Reapers.
I did not like that. I'm not a big fan of watching people get murdered like as a thing.
And that's then probably like, good.
Well, and then they're like, and it's the parents first, and then he walked upstairs, and then it was the kids, and I was like, I'm good.
But a big revelation comes out of this scene after they have walked through what happened.
Yeah, he only murdered two of the children because there's a third one. Dun dun dun. There wasn't a record of that, and like here is a question that I think is possibly one related to why we love this show so much and why the stories are deep and interesting. The cops covered up that there was a third kid, and a cop who used to go to that house all the time, who spent a lot of time there, never revealed this information, despite the fact that the sleuthing they did was like Nate the Great level at best. Oh, they had three kids because all three of them put their initials on the wall. Like, did the third one have a bed? I think you would have noticed the evidence that there were three beds.
Three different sizes of shoes in the closet. stuff like that.
As it turns out, kids leave a lot of signs of their life just kind of everywhere.
So they find the files in the house as well as a picture of the family of five.
This all just means OCP has to be the killer. Like every, like they're getting to the point where there's so much suspension of disbelief to like carry on the narrative that they're attempting to spin. Cause like, how do the cops not know that? How could they possibly not know that?
I don't know. But we go from the devil's house to Tony the worm.
Yeah.
And Tony and Jughead, they talk about Penny. I don't have any notes beyond
that. I have no notes on this scene whatsoever. I just move on to Betty and Alice. So this is a quick one. Just a quick check-in with these people.
Sometimes they have these scenes that are just like everyone updating each other on stuff. Yeah. And so they're repeating things. And I think that's
which is the thing that Lost, I think, as a show could have excelled from. Because if you watch Lost, no one ever told anyone anything. So the fact that like this show takes a break to be like, I am telling you this crazy thing. Oh, okay. It's nice.
So we go to the Coopers, where Betty lets her mom know about the party at the Worms. At the Worm. And the mom's not happy, as you would expect her not to be about that whole situation. Is this a scene where she invites her to go? I think she does it better to go in this scene. But we go back to Pops, where... that's what happens. She tells her what's going to happen. So Alice barges over to FP at Pops and is yelling about Betty being a serpent. And like she sees the leather jacket on her, you know, she's going to raise hell. FP suggests that she chaperone and go and watch over her and say hi to some of her old friends. And this is where we get a little bit more of this tension, because...
There's something there.
Alice says Hal won't come, and FP says, well, then leave him,
..
at home.
I mean, God knows she has ample reason to leave Hal at this point, but for FP, it's like, I mean, you're going to like secretly reveal that Jughead's mom is Alice or something at this point.
I hope it's not that. I thought that out too, but I hope it's not that.
Well, I mean... No, that I mean, Alice is deranged, but her kids are like, if they were dating, she would have known.
Yeah,
and probably. So let's go ahead and
we've played that trick already in season one.
They're playing every trick a second time.
Well, family members dating and then knocking each other up was season one.
Cheryl's still on the show,
but Jason and. What's her sister's name? Holly. Yeah.
Holly.
So we go to the newspaper, and Ronnie and Archie share the third kid news to their friends. They need to find the kid because he changed his name. And Jughead thinks that the kid could be the Hood. Betty and Jughead can't stay to help because they got to go to their party. Their serpent party. So
they're oddly comfortable being like leaving their friends holding the bag when it comes to a murderer situation.
That's when it got a bit odd that the priorities are not in order, that they now have like revolutionary news about this whole murder case, but they need to go to a party instead.
Which they all have like a lot of drama caged up in their skulls.
Yeah.
That they know they're going to let loose at the party. I'm like, don't go to the, like, this is a bad idea. Don't go to this.
But they before didn't listen. I know. They didn't listen to you. They should listen to you more often, Mikey. I'm sorry.
No, they should be Fred.
Be Fred. Hashtag be Fred.
Those bands.
Archie and Ronnie, they stay to look through the yearbook, two yearbooks, to try to find if they can connect the picture of the kid with his later name that he got changed to. They find him in a yearbook, and it's the janitor at their school.
Mark Tachofsky?
But like he changes Svensson or something.
He has a lot of... They give you all of his pseudonyms in one scene.
He's the janitor. they go find the janitor because they're at the school, and they call him out by his real name, and so he runs.
But again... Not thinking this one through, guy. Like, I understand thinking against the Red Hood, because traumatic thing could have... They have no evidence of this. They immediately accuse him of being the survivor of a horrible, grisly murder that claimed the lives of literally everyone in his family, and he saw it.
Yeah.
So they really just give this guy terrible, horrible PTSD immediately.
Yeah.
And he just goes, and runs.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't do that?
Yeah, someone yelled out a name he hasn't been called since his family got murdered. That's going to be a trigger.
Yeah, how many years of therapy did you go to bury this? Because I got my shovel ready.
But they catch up with the janitor, and he spills the beans on everything happened, that he saw not only the murder, but he, instead of running, waited and saw the killer's face. It was a con man preacher. That's how he referenced him.
Yeah.
And he sought justice by bringing some guys to a hotel that he was at. And then they did. I got a little muddled with the story here. Did they kill the guy and then they just never reported to the police?
He doesn't have any evidence that they did. So some bad dudes went and grabbed that guy and they took him out of town. And the implication is, you know, like, we're going to bury this dude in the desert or whatever.
But yeah,
I don't think he saw it. So there is, I think, an implication that the Riverdale Reaper is still alive.
Yes.
Who is different from our Black Hood character.
Yes.
But there is some obvious connection between them that is not the one survivor from the family.
Right. And then all of this information was never told to the police, which is why the police don't know about the con man preacher.
Or did they? Because the one explainable connection all of this has together is who has the information on who was going there all the time?
I'm waiting for you to like reach out behind you and just pull down just, this like display. Just like, all right, I got my board here, okay?
Okay. Hey, listen, Mac, listen, I'm gonna show you Pepe Silva. Pepe Silva. That's who it is.
I don't know what you're referencing.
I was doing Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. You were, I forgot.
It's not funny now.
I'm sorry. I ruined it.
No, you didn't.
Do you want to do another, take?
No.
Ronnie still thinks the janitor is a killer. Archie says that he doesn't have the right eyes.
Which is actual physical evidence, though the human brain remembers things differently. Those eyes in particular were distinct enough that
it's pretty easy to tell if it's not the person because of those eyes.
But is the implication there that Archie is checking everyone's eyes? Because I also believe that Archie would immediately know who it is if he ever sees them. And he's been up against OCP so many times that...
Or there's contacts. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, that's a good...
I have a ton of friends. So we go to the Coopers where Betty goes, no ponytail, and...
The only note I wrote is I don't like where this is going.
Same.
To clarify my point, because we all know she's going to go do the thing.
Yes.
The thing I didn't like was actually not that scene, though I didn't really enjoy it either. What I don't like is the scene that took place after it, where everyone tries to take her agency away. Because, like, if she wants to go do that, like, knock yourself out. Like, I don't care. I didn't like that she looked sad about this the whole time. But then the thing she's actually sad about is that everyone attempts to take her agency away, including her boyfriend.
Mm.
So it's more complicated than just, like, I'm disappointed in you for doing that strip thing, because who actually cares? Other than the fact that I'm not really sure where we are on ages here, because the show is completely obfuscated practical good behavior. I'm not, like, here's the thing. I don't think anyone on Riverdale can ever run for Senate.
Or could they?
Oh, God.
We got to sidestep that and go to the lodges where Hermione checks on Ronnie, and Ronnie realizes that she's never heard her mom and dad say, I love you, to each other.
That hits her pretty hard, that realization.
Yeah.
She's
Which is actually a great, I felt like was a great piece of information to explain volumes of why this was bothering Ronnie so much, because her association and definition of that act of saying that to someone has a foundation built upon the fact that her mom and dad never did it in front of her, or if they ever did it.
It seemed to have an effect on Hermione too.
Yes.
When she said that. Because Hermione's like, that can't. Oh, like,
yeah.
Because I don't think they were just saying it behind closed doors. I think they don't.
Yeah, I think that was the implication. We go to the Andrews, where Fred checks on Archie and says that...
Be cool, bud.
He
Be
says, cool. Give her time and space.
Chill. Chill, my dude.
I think if Archie had actually given her time and space and actually believed that that's all you need to do, this next scene would have gone very differently. But instead... Archie believes that on the surface, but does not take that to heart and has different ulterior motives in the next scene.
I'm not sure any of the characters at this point. So going into the retirement party, I want to take a quick temperature of the room, because Jughead has hated himself this whole time and sort of believing he might have an out is putting himself in the best possible position for his dad to ruin him ever liking himself again. And not even for an not understandable reason. It's like, yeah, I'm disappointed. Mm-hmm. Betty just has no idea who she is anymore after she was told by a murderer to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, and then Archie and Ronnie are not Archie and Ronnie.
Yeah. Everyone's like, processing a ton of things underneath the surface of their whatever's outward facing at this moment.
So let's go drink a lot. Woo!
Yeah, let's go to a gang bar.
Alice was ready to party.
Jughead is doing rounds, and the Coopers show up, and Alice is looking extra serpenty tonight.
She is full on serpent.
Yeah, she got all the look, and she even calls out that she was trying to get Betty to dress appropriately, but Betty didn't. Betty kind of keeps her usual look. But she starts hitting the booze, asking for the tequila.
Three shots of tequila in 10 seconds.
Yeah, nothing bad happens from that. Betty... I hate tequila so much. Betty alludes to having a surprise later. I don't like this. I literally wrote that down. Archie then confronts Ronnie... And lets her, and he says this on the surface, that he lets her know that what he said was about him and that there's no pressure. Ronnie then responds, feeling relieved, and says, thank you, which then is immediately recognized as what Archie did not want to hear her say.
Yeah.
And he turns the dick levels up to like 10 and starts acting like a total douche nozzle. And
can we just take a moment, though, that his fix here was that he's going to try this whole thing, and obviously she's still in her own sort of space there. He decides the fix is, let's go do a duet of Mad World.
Well, that was also like, if you really want to break it down, that means that in Archie's mind, his ideal scenario here is that he would tell his girlfriend, no pressure in saying I love you. She then would say, I love you. And then they would go do a duet for Mad World, because he says he had this planned before.
You're still in a biker bar with murderers who do not want to hear kids sing Mad World. Like, read the room, my dude. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, it's that classic barroom karaoke song that
everybody
sings.
Singing along. All the rounds, everybody. Are familiar? You got it? Yeah, you know it.
Familiar. Like, I don't hear enough crying. You know?
Exactly.
Just dudes in the back just weeping into their shots. Just go, oh,
so the two
never loved
biggest
this.
Buzz killers in the bar, who apparently did not have baskets upon baskets of hamburgers thrown at them for some reason.
Or glass.
Go do the duet anyway, even though we already know they totally just broke up right there. Like, let's go sing this really sad, devastating, you know.
Oh, Archie's line. Tune. Archie's line where he was like, I picked that song from Donnie Darko, you love, or maybe you at least like a lot.
Like, I was like, motherfucker, name a second song from Donnie Darko. Don't even pull that. Don't even pull that.
Oh, man. So, yes, they sing Mad World in a gang bar. Ronnie, rightfully so, walks off stage before the song's over.
Devastated, ruined by the emotions that this group continues to inflict upon each other.
On my best day when I sing Mad World, I'm already sad. It's just a song that takes you down.
Yeah, it's you don't go up there and you're like, all right, one, two, one, two, three, all around the familiar places. Ooh, you're like, nobody, no.
I am now, after we're done this podcast, I'm literally going to go to my piano and try to figure out like an upbeat major chord version.
I'll drop a little beat on my drum set for you, just a little.
So she leaves. Booing starts. Archie leaves. So Betty, reading the room at this point, decides that not only does she need to continue the song, because the song was what was doing well. It wasn't the song that was ruining the moment. It was Archie and Veronica.
What would have made this perfect if she had pulled 100% out of LeBron? So there's one of those little kiosks where you get the dust in the chalk on your hands.
Yeah.
If she just went up and grabbed it and went,
just like, threw it just up
like
in the
LeBron,
air.
Like do the rain. They'd be like, man. Here we go. Yeah. One, two, three. All around.
No. Betty.
So she finishes
singing.
The horrible, sad, terrible thing.
No. She starts the song, and then the song is the backdrop to the saddest striptease ever. Because then she stripteases to it, and then when she's done stripteasing to it, she then sings the end of the song.
Yeah, so it was like the saddest of all of the things you just heard. Whatever stripping scene, and just any scene, is the saddest of all of those.
Like, okay, now,
genre of scene.
I want you just to take all the scenes in history, and I want
chop them up, go to the Library of Congress if you gotta. They got little binders you can find.
This is the saddest.
All of them. Sorry, Where the Red Fern Grows. Didn't have a striptease like this, I'm afraid. So anyway, sorry. A high schooler is on stage stripping in a biker bar while essentially crying. Let's talk about this show we love.
Alice sees the stripping and is obviously horrified. Jughead hates it the entire time.
Which is what I hated.
And at no point, I was like, Jughead, go get her off the stage.
It's not his decision. It's hers.
I just wanted him to end it, though. So it ends, though, and FB claps and kind of breaks the tension.
Well, he's playing a part at this point.
He is. He covers her with his jacket, even, to kind of give her some covering, gets her
off
the stage.
Which is like the FP we like, and yes. No, doing the right thing, but also like, woo, let's get crazy, it's a crazy night, I'm FP, I'm crazy, why are you doing that?
Yeah, he starts giving a speech and ends it with the fact that he's not retiring, and if they want him to leave, if the police want him to leave, they better show up with the coffin. Pew, 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 pew.
You gotta pry that coffin from my cold, dead hands.
So then he goes and hugs Jughead and whispers in Jughead's ear that he found out about the snake charmer.
He goes up and gives Fredo a kiss on the right cheek and a kiss on the left cheek.
And he says, this is the only way Jughead is out of the serpents. If FP gets back in, it is now back to being his debt. Jughead, you're free.
FP made a terrible decision to be the best dad in town. For once, tonight, it is FP. Is the best dad in town.
Oh, man, is he? And he takes a shot, and my heart is broken.
At that point, you know he's got to play the part.
But he broke that seal of the sobriety, and it just makes me sad to see that. And
well, he disowned his son right before it, so if there was ever a reason.
Then we go to the parking lot just to wrap up this sad fest.
Yeah, let me hit you with a couple more baseball bats.
Yeah. I got a few more I want to try out.
So Ronnie and Archie are still having the same talk.
Yeah. She confesses that she has issues. She's very honest that she has issues.
Which is understandable.
Yes. She just is now dealing with the fact that she realizes that her parents have never said this. She can't go to the L word place with Archie. She's just honest. It's good. She's good. But Archie is not good. And
he's like, I'm going to force this. Okay.
Yeah. And which is always good. It's always a good idea to force someone to say, I love you. Veronica leaves, Archie is left there, and we're pretty much like at the point where we're like, okay, cool, they're not a thing anymore. Let's check in on our other favorite couple.
They broke up, so let's cut to Betty and Jughead so they can too.
Jughead can't protect Betty anymore. Betty's like, how many times are we going to do this thing? And Jughead is like...
Well, before anything happens, the thing Jughead does specifically is takes 100% of her agency out of the equation. As if he has any ownership over her or her body.
Yeah.
And I want to make that explicitly clear. Because she was not upset about the striptease. She actually honestly didn't care.
No.
But she was trying to find a way to get through to him. And he's just like, no.
Yeah. And he thinks that he was going to destroy Betty in the same way that he just destroyed his dad. Through the actions that he and choices he made and the lies that he spun. And so they break up.
Cut to the Jug Dub.
Cut to the Jug Dub. I just want the audience to know that Mikey just dabbed. You don't get to do that and get away with it, okay?
Oh, sorry, Jug. I thought I was the Jug Dab.
This is an audio podcast.
Cut to the Jug Dab. You got
no.
it? You there?
No. No. I draw the line, Mikey Newman.
Snakes and Ladders. Here we go.
Everyone has slid off the game board, is in a free fall.
It all came crashing down.
Old wounds are reopened. Cut to the janitor looking at a photo, having a PTSD moment.
Oh yeah, he's not going to be good for literally the rest of his life. Like they have broken whatever fragile psyche was.
They have opened that wound and then have built a dam so that wound can never close again.
I'm gonna get everyone in Riverdale a book called Empathy for Morons.
And just shove it in their face.
Empathetically.
Empathetically shove
read
it in their
this,
face.
Please.
We cut to Archie in his house, who's shirtless again for like the sixth time this episode. And
he's checking out Betty across the street.
We are now at this point where I think we're going to explore the Archie and Betty love story from the old Archie comics.
Just want to remind everybody that you're not really into each other in that way. And you've already discovered that. And this is going to end real bad for you.
Yeah.
So, do your own thing. Like, I'm not telling you not to. I'm just
a little FYI.
Voice of reason. Just
out. Yeah. Archie checks out Betty across the way, and then Betty checks out Archie. End of episode.
She walks out of frame,
she
like
does.
Past the window, and you're like, oh, she's not into it. But then she like backs up, like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Who are you?
He doesn't have a shirt on.
I'm like, it's Archie. He never has a shirt on.
As he should. It's in his contract.
Was your star Riverdale in of the
week? Gotta be FP,
it's
right?
FP, it's like FP. No question. Hands down, that was heartbreaking sacrifice that he achieved in this episode.
We ended last week's episode with Archie being the star Riverdalian and then clearly calling out that he was going to ruin in the next episode. He did it.
Yeah, that's true. I loved the plotting, like season twos generally, as with the second chapter in a movie trilogy or whatever else. I mean, you gotta really break everybody up so you can build them back. Like they have smashed everyone into smithereens though. I love any show that brings us to a point where I'm like, how are you guys going to fix this? Like
I
you guys
know.
Have made such a mess of your emotional human lives that you can't even spend time being worried about the murderer who is actively threatening you.
Is that just going to be the end of the season? Is just the murderer's going to show up to everybody's house, but they're all just going to be sitting there sad and depressed anyways. And so he's going to be like, well, this isn't worth it. And he just walks away. And that's how the show keeps going.
He just walks in. He goes, sorry, sorry.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. Man. Do you need to talk?
Do you guys need a knife? I bought this one for today.
I got some pizza. We go to the bathtub.
Yeah. No, don't do that with them. They're young. I mean, they're like clearly 26, but no 17-year-old has ever had pecs like that.
Let's go get it.